So, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. I'd like to just say a little bit about the next of the five faculties, virya. Virya is often translated either as energy or as effort. And as it says in one of the texts, only when there's faith or confidence, effort will arise. And so it's the energy, the persistence, the willingness, and the not giving up on ourselves. It's this really staying with. It's sometimes an unshakable energy of just being here. I'm here for myself, taking a stance. It's also the ardently, the enthusiastic going for it. Yes, I can do this, not holding back. Sometimes we sort of put one foot in, but we're always holding back a bit. And this is that sort of commitment. I'm here, I'm doing this. So just explore right now what the energy is like in your body. You could close your eyes and just notice. What's it like in the body? Is the body restless or still? Is there a kind of vibrating energy or a dull energy? Is it heavy or sleepy? Or maybe agitated? So it's just knowing how the body is. And what's the mind like? Is it speedy energy or kind of low energy in the mind? Aware. And aware of how the heart is. Sometimes we can hold and block the energy when we're holding on to something. So just taking a few moments to notice, without judgment, how the energy is. Whenever we judge, that's sort of blocking the energy. And when there's no judging, there's more interest, curiosity, and the energy flows more easily. And so we're adjusting our practice so that energy can flow rather than we're blocking and resisting. So we experience it physically and mentally. And as I was saying, physically it can be restlessness or agitation or a deep stillness and an embodied presence. Mentally we can have peace and calm, or have a lot of worry and conflict in the mind. So those are the ranges that we go through. And all of practice is about balancing those energies. Sometimes you might notice that your body is still and calm and your mind is racing. Or you might notice the opposite, that the body is agitated and the mind is calm. So both can happen. And so the balancing of our energy is a fine art. And mindfulness is what notices and helps us balance our energy, knowing how the body is now. And it's important to understand our particular patterns with energy because it makes our practice a lot easier. Some of us are caught in this cultural thing of energy being expended trying to get it right. We're efforting always to get something or resist something, trying to have experience be just right, reaching or pushing away, and a lot of our energy is directed towards that. And you've made a wise effort today coming here, unplugging from a lot of the energy drains. And energy goes wherever we put our attention and our intention. And so we can look at where do I really want my energy to go in my life? And sort of do an energy audit. Is this really what I want to be spending the energy I have doing? Sometimes we can notice, oh, there's a lot of energy spent complaining and whining. Do I really want to be spending time doing that? Or whatever it is that we're caught in, or our energy is going onto some screen or other. And so this is a chance to see, what's my deepest intention? Where do I want to put the energy in my life? What do I want to grow, culture, nourish? And so that's the beauty of exploring what we're doing, what we're putting effort into. Sometimes when we get caught in decision-making and hesitating and doubt, that uses up energy. And you know what it feels like when you finally make a decision? This sense of relief. And all of a sudden you have energy again, because it's been bound up in the decision process. So there are so many ways we can look at how we block our energy and how we can put effort in a way that's more skillful. And here in our practice, what we find is relaxed attention allows energy to flow. Whereas if we're striving to find the breath, to do it right, there's a way that efforting is using up energy and it's tiring and exhausting. And what we find is relaxing back allows the energy to flow on its own. So initially we do have to apply a bit of effort just to bring the mind here. But it's just enough effort to come into the present moment. So if I say right now, bring awareness to your body. Be aware of your hands and feet. It doesn't take a lot of effort to do that. And you can notice when you're using a muscle to try and bring yourself back, a physical muscle to come back with energy. You're efforting. And when the mind is just being inclined, do you see the difference? There's a tension, a contraction, an efforting, rather than a gentle incline, an allowing, which allows the energy to flow. And our trust and confidence is what helps bring this soft continuity of effort. So it's really, the effort is just enough to bring us into the present moment. And then the support to stay. So it's again and again being here. Can we do that? And the other thing is, the more we relax, the more we're sensitive we get to our own energy needs. And we start to see, oh, I'm spacing out. Just this bit more is needed. Or I'm really tight and I need to relax. So it's this, it's not difficult to be aware. What's difficult is doing it continuously. That's the tricky part. And one of the meanings of mindfulness, translations, is remembering. Remembering to reconnect. And that's important. What am I aware? Where of? And then again, and now what am I aware of? Just this continuity. It's non-interfering, and it's not involved, and it's relaxed. So if I could say three words to remember, uninvolved, and continuous, and relaxed. Just easy. There's a lovely demonstration, the teaching in the Buddha's, in the suttas, about wise effort and the use of energy. And it's, we always use it when we're teaching, and so I'll use it again. And there was a man called Sona, and before he became a monk, he'd been a musician. And one day he was walking back and forth, trying to get settled and calm. And he was walking back and forth, and he was really trying. And his feet were hurt. They walked barefoot, and his feet were hurting, and he was exhausted. And the Buddha, with his all-seeing eyes, sees Sona and appears to him in a vision. And he says, "Sona, if you tuned the strings of your lute too tight, what happened?" And he said, "Sometimes they break." And he said, "And what would the music sound like?" "Not good." "If you do them too loose, etc., again, you wouldn't be able to play." And so it's this, how do we find this too tight, too loose balance? And we're always adjusting in our practice. When it's too tight, often we can get a headache, or we can feel restless or agitated. We're trying too hard. If it's too loose, we space out, we start having fantasies, or we fall asleep. And so it has to be a little bit more. And it's, unfortunately, you can't do one adjustment and have that be your set for the rest of your life. It's a continual adjusting, because our energy is different all the time. From during the day, during a week, even one sit, your energy can be up and down. So it's gentle fine-tuning to balance the energy. So at first we need to use a little bit of will to come into the moment, but then it becomes effortless and there's a willingness. So from efforting, we find an effortless way of practicing, and everything flows on its own. And so it's learning how to tune a little bit. And that's what we're doing as we're practicing. And again, being willing to make mistakes. And so much of the time in our culture, unless we're getting it right, we're upset with ourselves. "You're too tight. You're too loose. You got to get it right." Rachel Naomi Rimmon, who was a physician, worked in palliative care and long-term illness, has a lovely book. It's Kitchen Table Wisdom, I think, is this one. It's written a number of years ago. And she describes when the Concorde took its first flight across the Atlantic, and there were VIPs on board the plane, and they were shown into the control room, and there was nobody sitting there, you know. And there's all this whirring and clicking. And so one of the men says, "What's all that whirring and clicking?" And their guide said, "Well, whenever the plane goes off course, there's a correction." And he said, "You mean it's off course that number of times? Will we really get to Paris on time? And will we really get to Paris?" "Oh, yeah. It's this constant course correction." And so Rachel Rimmon concluded, she said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be like that? You know, oh, I'm off course. I just need a bit of course correction," without making it into a big deal. If we could tell our friends, "You need a little course correction," and they not perceive it as a judgment. And so it's this gentle all the time course correction. Of course we're going to go too far one way and too far the other way. And the wisdom piece is being able to notice that we did that and then not get upset about it. Gently correct it. It's okay. What's important is that we come back, not that we were bad and went off. And so that's a wise use of energy. That's wise effort. Not wasting effort in reprimand and judging or belittling. So what we're trying to do is maintain an open, relaxed awareness continually. practice in a relaxed way, but don't stop practicing. That's the trick. And then it's not about getting a particular experience. Sometimes we're trying to get somewhere. We think things should be a certain way. That reinforces efforting if we're trying to get a particular experience. So it's just this being with, connecting, not resisting, and continuing with kindness. And that kind of momentum builds the energy that's effortless, and it just begins to flow. And then, as it gets balanced, we become a channel for energy, and we really can let it unfold on its own. And there are people here who know that experience and how good that feels when it flows on its own. Ajahn Chah again says, proper effort is not the effort to make something particular happen, but the effort to be awake and aware in each moment. That's all. So it's combining the mirror-like attribute of mindfulness, which sees and includes everything, with this patient, persistent, continual being there, connected. Those two together. And so you can see what's right for you, and I invite you to do that the next 2 days. Is how I'm practicing promoting calm, stability, ease, and seeing clearly? If it is, that's wise effort. If I'm getting more and more tense and upset, it's likely not. And not to judge it, but to be kind. So it's this balance between doing and non-doing. Being, and balance between being and doing. Because we do need a bit of doing, and then to be. This is from a wonderful teacher, Deepa Ma. She says, we need both the utmost fortitude and the gentlest touch. I'll say that again. The utmost fortitude and the gentlest touch. So that's applying just the right amount of energy to be fully present to whatever is here, easy or difficult, pleasant or unpleasant. Is this steadfast resolve? I'm here for myself, with friendliness, with caring. So I think that's enough talking.